no one has been allowed access to the girls, as I understand from reports we've received. They're being kept in a safe facility under the care of the government to undergo intensive rehabilitation and to receive counseling and medical care.
Did you speak to any of the families or anyone that directly knows any of the girls?
Yes, when we conducted the mission in January 2016, we went to a number of camps in Borno State in the northeast of Nigeria, where we met with a number of girls who had been abducted, not any of the Chibok girls, but girls who had been abducted and taken captive and were subjected to all forms of abuse and exploitation, a number of whom had children, had babies as a result of their abduction. Some of them had escaped. Some of them had been rescued from Sambisa Forest. It was a particularly difficult situation to see the circumstances that they were in. We also met with a number of parents, the Chibok families. We had a private meeting with a few parents whose girls had been abducted from Chibok, and they related to us the story of what happened the night at the school, when the school was burnt and the dormitories were broken into and the children were driven off. Although a lot of international momentum has been generated around releasing the Chibok girls, they were not the only girls or the only children who were abducted. They were abducted in 2014. In 2015, there were another 300 children from Damascus who were abducted. We mentioned it's estimated that up to about 2,000 girls have been abducted from various places. Because the modus operandi of Boko Haram is to go into villages, they take away the young people, the children, the boys that they can force to carry arms, and the girls that they can force into domestic and sexual slavery.
How are these girls received by their communities once they are released?
What I'm aware of is the rapid assessment that was done in 2016. The people we met with in some of the camps also said to us that there are big challenges with the girls being reintegrated into their families and communities because of the stigma and the discrimination and the marginalization that they face. Mainly the perception is that they've been radicalized by Boko Haram, that their children will grow up to be Boko Haram fighters, and they themselves might become Boko Haram suicide bombers. At the time of our mission, two girls had been arrested for planning to be suicide bombers. They were fortunately apprehended before the incident took place. But since then, there's been an increase in the number of girls being used as suicide bombers. That has prompted increasing concerns by various communities about these girls being radicalized. There's cultural and traditional resistance to bringing them back to their communities. They are referred to as hyenas or snakes or epidemics. That illustrates the high degree of stigmatization against these girls.
The baby boys, they're seen as Boko Haram killers. Can you say something about that?
UNICEF interviewed a number of families and communities who said that they are concerned about the children of being of bad blood because they have Boko Haram blood in them. Some of the communities said they will never accept these children. However, on the converse, there were also some communities, and these were said to be the mixed Muslim-Christian communities, where children were accepted, including boys. But it seems as if, in general, a great degree of resistance to the children born of forced marriage.
When the girls are released to be reintegrated into the communities, what does that entail?
An intensive 9-month process of rehabilitation and reintegration. Their families are allowed to visit them, but the government is also, according to its own statement, families who are visiting them are indeed their next of kin. The two were released this month. Will also undergo a long period of counseling.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Just enormous challenges. You know, now reports coming out of girls having to take part in survival sex just to get access in camps, to food, to toiletries, to healthcare. And so, you know, some of the stories are really quite chilling.